Hey, and we're talking with Tom Bergeron from Hollywood Squeeze here at PMPnetwork.com. Do you miss Boston at all?
Yeah, I do. I do miss Boston. We get back as much as possible.
Yeah. How did you land this this gig here?
Hollywood Squares?
Yeah.
Hollywood Squares really was a result of the folks at King World seeing me on Fox doing a show called Breakfast Time on the FX network. And then on Fox After Breakfast, and meeting Whoopi when I hosted Fox After Breakfast.
Ah. Yeah, Whoopi, of course, helped put this together, right?
Not really. It was being put together, and then she was hired on to be center square and one of three executive producers. But the show was being produced and sort of rebuilt by the folks at King World.
All of us, of course, in Boston know you from People Are Talking,
right,
on WBZ, and you've ended up back at WBZ.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. I was pleased to hear that that would be the station carrying us in Boston.
Yeah, you're on at 7 o'clock on a beautiful time slot.
Yes. Yeah,
on the CBS
fun.
Affiliate. And, of course, for all you folks listening around the country, just check your local listings, find out when Hollywood Squares is on. I always loved Hollywood Squares, and, of course, it has a long tradition with Peter Marshall and John Davidson. And
right.
What is the difference between the one you have now and maybe the one that Peter Marshall did when it started?
Well, all the celebrities are alive. That's a big difference right there.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, essentially, the pace might be a little quicker. We might be, you know, going to the edge a little bit more, though. Given some of the lines Paul Lynn got away with back even in the 60s, so that's even questionable. But I think, you know, it's tic-tac-toe. I mean, it's a classic. How much can you change it?
Yeah. I think the questions are usually, they have an easy answer for the most part, at least in my opinion, but the comedy answers that are given by the celebrities usually make the show.
Right, right.
Now, are they all prompted on the questions ahead of time?
They have, they're briefed on the general topic area, so they do have a sense of what's coming at them. And Bruce Valanche, who's also a regular on camera, is the senior writer off camera with a staff of four or five. And so they provide the stars with suggested jokes and bluffs that they can use or they can just use as a springboard or discard completely, sort of as they wish. But it gives them a safety net, particularly the stars who don't have a comedy background.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's interesting to note that you change the stars all the time. The center star is always
Whoopi Goldberg.
Because, you know,
a clean star is a happy star, so we change them after every taping. Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, okay.
But, I mean, Whoopi has always been the center stage, and she always will be, right?
That's right. That's right. She's the center square.
She's the key.
Yep.
Because, of course, in tic-tac-toe, that center square is
yes.
the key.
Yes.
Who's the most outrageous person you have on the show?
Well, I think in terms of consistently funny, for me, the person who breaks me up most consistently is Gilbert Gottfried.
Mm-hmm.
And I was aware of Gilbert, you know, I wasn't a big Gilbert Gottfried fan, but I was aware of him prior to doing the show. And since he's become a regular, I find him hilarious.
What about a guy like Coolio? It's kind of interesting to see.
Coolio's fun, and he's been on a number of times, and he really has a good time with it, and And he's become sort of part of our extended family, too. He gets in there, and he's got that sort of twisted perspective, and I think it really works.
You got people as diverse as Mary Lou Henner and Donnie Osmond and Raquel
right.
Welch on it once.
Right, Garth Brooks and you know, Billy Crystal, people like that.
Do you ever have any kind of like average citizens in the squares themselves?
No.
Hmm.
No.
What about a special edition where people actually in the contest to be one of the squares?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Generate a lot of interest.
Sure.
And of course, you have to credit Mark Schneider for that idea.
I will. Yes. Yeah. Well,
and all the numbers. Tell us a little bit about where you're from originally, Tom.
Haverhill.
Wow.
Massachusetts.
So that must have been thrilling for you to land in Boston TV then.
It was. You know, I was talking recently to a group, and they were saying, "Gee, it must be great to meet all these stars and all that." I said, "You know, it's fun, and we have a great time, but." As I was going through my career, what was really exciting for me was to meet the people primarily in Boston radio, not so much the television end, but when I started working alongside Larry Glick, you know, meeting Jess Kane, Dave mm-hmm. Maynard, people like Carl DeSouze, you know, the people that I grew up listening to.
Right.
Well, when I got to fill in for Glick, I thought that was like dying and going to heaven, you know. The TV people, it was, yeah, that's fine. Rex Traylor, I thought was pretty cool, but it was the radio people in Boston, and it was really, my interest was to get into radio in Boston more than television. The television kind of happened by accident, by virtue of some people in Boston TV hearing my radio show in New Hampshire and getting in touch with me to come down and audition for some things at Channel 4.
What was the first thing you did at Channel 4?
A magazine show, kind of like Evening Magazine for kids, called Super Kids, which aired on Saturdays at 1 o'clock.
Hmm.
And I'd drive down from New Hampshire and tape my part of it like in an afternoon and drive back. And that got me to at least brought me to the attention of the people in management there, and that led one thing led to another, and I was doing a number of different formats before.
Now, wasn't there a woman that did the People Are Talking before you, a blonde woman?
Nancy Merrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was the one who started it, right?
I think so. Yeah, they had a talk show, a daytime talk show, for years. Sonia Hamlin had it for a while, and Sharon King. And then Nancy Merrill started People Are Talking when it took on that name and did it for, I think, 3 or 4 years.
It's interesting. I mentioned on our internet site that you were coming on, and we had a lot of emails, and the females seem to think you're gorgeous and cute.
Oh, geez.
and warm and cuddly.
Where were they when I was single?
And the guys think that you're a cool dude. So, I mean,
you
attract both people to watch the show.
My belief is that, you did my talk show in Boston as a guest, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyway that I'm much different on camera or off camera, and I just think it's a lot easier to be that way because you're not thinking, gee, I have to put on that other personality when I'm on camera or whatever. So I think, and I don't think the camera lies either. I think that when you watch this show, you see a bunch of people who really enjoy each other's company, having a good time, and that's sincere. I mean, it's a genuine chemistry and camaraderie that you see on camera.
I must agree. I think that you are totally unpretentious as a host.
Thanks.
Of the show.
Thanks.
As opposed to some of the other shows that I was on where the host was completely pretentious.
Well, yeah, and I have very little patience for that. And one of the reasons that Whoopi and I have become good friends, I think, is that we both share a very low BS threshold. And when the occasional star comes on and they're copping an attitude, it's just it doesn't fit with our group because we're pretty much down to earth and fun to be around generally.
Well, it doesn't take too long to tear them apart and get them back to earth, does it?
No, it's I've taken some shots on camera at people that I thought were being kind of pissy to the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Who do you think is the can you name the worst guest on there?
The worst
celebrity
star?
Yeah.
Well, the one who I wondered why he showed up at all was Bill Maher from Politically Incorrect. Now, I'm a fan of Bill Maher. I think he does some of the best stand-up going and also enjoy Politically Incorrect. But the day he was with us, he was up there in the square reading the paper, and it just seemed strange. It seemed like, he hadn't been clued in what he was doing that day and had a hair across his butt.
Hmm. I've had a few guests like that. One of them was Justine Bateman.
Yes, yeah, I interviewed her once years ago too, but of course now she'd die to be interviewed.
Exactly.
And now
I wouldn't interview her.
Which is my late grandfather once said to me, be nice on the way up because they're waiting for you on the way down.
But there were people like that, and I never understood it because it is such a tenuous world, world of showbiz.
Yeah.
One day you have high ratings, the next day you're gone, you're in the unemployment line. So why treat people
like
that?
Well, you know what I think it is? There's a great book to pick up. I recommend it to all of your listeners, called Toxic Fame. And what it is a collection of comments by actors, stars, wannabes, has-beens, about that whole thing, about building a career, about being famous, about how it plays with your head and all. And you see, and I think, Justine may be, I don't know her certainly, but I also had a less than thrilling encounter with her years ago. I think people who are really insecure and who get a certain degree of notoriety then use that notoriety to either become raving idiots or they mask their insecurity by being difficult, which is another whole thing,
That's another one I've had. Charles Grodin, another difficult interview.
Really? Now, I enjoyed him a lot.
Really?
Now, when did you interview him?
I had him on twice, last year and the year before.
Really? I interviewed him both on when I was doing both radio and TV at BZ in Boston, he did the TV show, then came over with me to the radio show, and was great. So, you know, you might have got him on an off day.
Maybe I did, or maybe he was trying to pull a David Letterman scenario on me.
Well, that could be, because he is irascible.
Mm-hmm. And he has this thing where he likes to just be a jerk on purpose.
Yes.
You know, it's an
act.
And,
right, exactly.
But he was doing that on me.
Yeah.
And I knew it was an act, and I kept telling him, you know, be you, please.
Yeah.
You know? But he wasn't into it. He just wanted to be him.
Funny.
You know, it's interesting stuff. Now, Hollywood Squares is on every night from, on every weeknight from 7 o'clock on WBZ-TV4, which is your old home.
My old home.
And who's on this week, just to get everybody's curiosity?
Well, you know, this week is we tried something this season that we hadn't done last season, and it's a college tournament.
Hmm.
We have 14 universities competing, and by Friday, after the Wednesday and Thursday semifinal rounds, two students of the 14 will be pitted against each other, and the winner will win, in addition to what they've already won, $25,000. And Caroline Ray, America's sweetheart, will do a concert at a comedy concert at their campus.
Mm.
Say that five times fast.
That's
so we've got we've got the usual gang of suspects: Whoopi, Bruce, Gilbert, Caroline, also Thomas Gibson from Dharma and Greg, Venus and Serena Williams, the tennis superstars. Are on. Lisa Gibbons is on this week as well, making her first appearance with us. And it's fun. The students' energy. We've got, as a matter of fact, tonight a BU student, Noah Pransky.
Here we go.
On, against a student from San Francisco State University.
So go Boston. Go Boston.
See how BU does this evening at 7. But it's been great for us because the energy of the students. Was infectious. It really pumped us up too, because you know you don't realize how jaded some of the adult contestants can be until you see, you know, a college student facing a pile of student loans, winning a bundle of cash, and it's fun.
Can we find out if you actually listen to your own show?
Occasionally, I don't watch it every night because I've already done it, so I kind of know how it turns out.
Here's a question from last week: which self-help guru authored the book 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives? That's from your show from the 23rd of November.
10 Stupid Things.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't have the answer?
No, I don't.
I don't.
So you can tell me anything, and I'll say, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I could be bluffing. That's right.
It was actually Richard Simmons. That's
Henry
right.
David Thoreau.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I knew that was correct somewhere
in
there. But you must have a really good time with this. And we actually have an email from someone from Pennsylvania named Joe who wanted to know how long it takes to record these and how far in advance they are.
It really doesn't take much longer than a half an hour. We really do our best to be live on tape, which means, you know, if for example, there are some shows that we taped just before Thanksgiving break, and we were all like kids on the last day of school, and I kept forgetting which contestant's turn it was. I mean, I just was not there at all. I was completely spaced out. And Whoopi and I just got in a fit of laughing. Because it was, you know, now last season, the producers might have stopped tape and said, oh, okay, let's fix that so you don't look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally convinced them, let's just roll with it. Let's improvise with these things. I'm not, you know, I don't worry about looking like an idiot. Something funny could come out of this. And so after I did this two or three times, honest to God, I wasn't acting. It was just, I wasn't paying attention. Whoopi said during the commercial, let's swap places. So you come back from a commercial, and she's sitting in the host spot, and I'm in the center square with my feet up, rubbing my brow, going, I can't remember who's done this. Now, all of that wouldn't have happened unless we just rolled with it. You know? But we do it in pretty much real time. So unless there's a technical problem, we don't stop down. So a half-hour show maybe takes 32 minutes to tape. We finish, we go back to our dressing rooms, we change our clothes, we come back out about 15 or 20 minutes later and do another show. And we do five in a day. We do three in the morning with one studio audience in attendance, and we break for lunch, and a new crowd comes in, and then we do two in the afternoon.
You know, it's interesting. I went to Hollywood Squares years ago when Peter Marshall was host.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember most of all was getting a hug from Suzanne Plachette.
Oh, that'd be a cool thing.
I think I was about 8.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to shake Charlie Weaver's hand.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You know?
That was that a good day then was had by you, isn't it?
It was a fun time, but I remember that. Now, do you actually
better
you guys all
better than getting a hug from Charlie Weaver and a handshake from Suzanne Pleshette?
I think you're right, but of course I was so young I didn't know the difference at that time. But do you get a chance to mingle with the audience like they did at that time?
Well, to a degree, because we have, although we move at a pretty rapid clip, we have a warm-up guy, Bob Perlow, who's absolutely wonderful. He does a warm-up for the Tonight Show audience as well.
Hmm.
And he interacts more with the audience than we do, although we do on occasion. But from the time we are introduced to the audience at about 10:45 in the morning to the time we finish taping, which is usually about 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon, we're going in a pretty, I mean, there are things that we'll say to the audience, the studio audience that are there, that you don't hear at home, you know, the little asides or when things get a little extra blue and we have to cut them out. And,
right.
You know, there's that.
But I mean, for instance, at the end, when you're all done taping at 4:35 o'clock, do you guys get out of the squares and go greet the audience? Or
no, because then there's a bunch of promos to do and affiliate stuff to do so that, you know, we're done taping the show, but there's usually, not always, but usually, another batch of things that have to be done and that's partly because this is a syndicated show, and that version that you're talking about was a network show. And I think, you know, we do more for the individual stations, possibly.
And folks out there listening either on radio or in the internet, you can get free tickets to go see Tom Bergeron at the Hollywood Squares at 323-575-2458. That's 323-575-2458. And if you want to try to be a contestant, there's a contestant audition hotline at 323-850-0707. Or you can check out the homepage on the internet at hollywoodsquares.com. Tom Bergeron, thanks so much for coming on, and it's wonderful to connect with you again after all these years.
Hey, Mark, same here.
And we'll see you next time you're in Boston.
You bet. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Tom Bergeron from Hollywood Squares.